want to say good morning to those of you online, those of you who are watching right now. And I'm going to give you a break. I'm not going to let you stand up again, but I do want us to say our memory verse together, okay? It's 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Everybody got that ready? Ready to go? All right. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Now, I'm going to ask you a very personal question. How wise are you? If you could weigh your wisdom, how much would your wisdom weigh? I've learned in my life that I can recognize a wise person if three things are true about them. So this will tell you how wise you are. First of all, a wise person knows he needs wise advice. A wise person knows he doesn't know it all. He doesn't. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. We all need advice. So a wise person knows I need wise advice. Number two, a wise person knows where to find wise advice. Wise people are able to pick out wise people. That's why I never take advice from a Florida Gator. I just never do that. I just know better. But then a wise person is willing to take wise advice. That's what separates the men from the boys. We all can get advice. We can all hear advice. The question is, do you take it? And I say that for this reason. A few years ago, there was an article in Time magazine, and here was the title of it, Why It's Easier Than Ever to Get Great Advice If You Know Where to Look. And according to this article, I want you to listen to this. There were more than 64 million Google results for this question. What should I do? What should I do? 64 million. And you got to thinking about it. Do you realize there's never been a time in the history of the world where you had more options to get more advice from more so-called experts than there is today? You can go anywhere to get advice. Live chats, apps, videos, podcast, YouTube, TikTok. List is growing every day. Time magazine even said, we have entered a new golden age of advice. This promotion was recently in Reader's Digest. Listen to this. Get free support. Want someone to talk to? At 7cups.com, you can connect with a trained active listener to receive complimentary, confidential advice. Choose a listener based on location, life experience, or let the site assign someone to you for an instant, compassionate conversation. Doesn't that just thrill your heart? Well, I want to give you some advice on the best place. In fact, many times I believe the only place you ever really know to get not just good advice, not even the best advice. Let me tell you where you can always go and you'll always get perfect advice. I can tell you in one word. You ready? Prayer. That's where you get perfect advice. Is when you go to the God of the universe and say, I need some advice. Now, because there's no way anybody can guarantee that the kind of advice or the quality of advice that you'll get from anyone else is really, really, really good advice. Nobody can ever really tell you that that's what you're going to get. There have been times I've given bad advice. There have been times I've gotten bad advice. But when you come to the God of the universe who knows everything in prayer, he says, look, I will always give you perfect advice. Now, you're asking right now, well, how do you do that? I want to get in on it. Well, I'm going to show you. I want you to take God's word and turn to 1 John chapter 5. If you're a guest of ours today, we've been in 1 John since January. We've been in a series we've been calling Proof Positive. There was a disciple named John. He was one of the real close people, one of Jesus's BFFs. And one of his disciples, John, wrote this book, five chapters. And in that book, he's really telling us two things. Number one, how can you really know for sure you have a relationship with God? How can you really know that you have eternal life? But then even more importantly, hey, once you know you have that relationship with God, how can you get the most out of it? How can you really get the best benefit out of it? And what John is going to tell us today is this. Once you know you have a real relationship with the real God, there is a way that you can pray that you will know every time you pray this way, he will hear and he will answer. In two short verses, you're going to find the greatest way on how to pray and how to pray in such a way that you don't have to walk away and wonder, did he hear me? Is he going to answer my prayer? Is he going to really do what I think he's going to do? You can always know the answer to that is yes if you pray the right way, because what never ceases to amaze me, never. Every time I come to this passage in the Gospels, it amazes me. You had 12 disciples. They lived with Jesus for 3 years, hardly ever left his side. They went everywhere with him. They heard all of this fantastic teaching and all this great preaching that he did. They saw all these unbelievable miracles that nobody had ever done before. And yet, in all that time, they never one time, here's what I would have asked Jesus had it been me. I would have said, would you teach me how to preach? They didn't ask him that. They didn't say, hey, would you teach me how to teach? They didn't ask him that. They didn't say, hey, can you teach me how to connect with people the way you connect with people? They didn't ask him that. As a matter of fact, you would have thought they would have at least said, hey, can you show me that walk on the water trick? That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. They only asked Jesus to show them one thing, one time. They made one request. What's this? Lord, teach us to pray. That's amazing. You mean all the things you've seen and all the things you've heard and all the things you've experienced, but you want to know, how can I pray like you? Because from the moment you become a believer, you enter into this journey of you trying to learn how to pray. You try to learn the way to pray. You try to learn the way to know that you're connecting with God when you do pray. And John is going to tell us in one simple sentence, here's the way to pray to know that you're praying the right way. You ready? Here we are. You are in the will of God when you pray for the will of God. It's that simple. You are in the will of God when you pray for the will of God. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, John is going to give us three reasons why God's will is really the only way to pray. So if you're taking notes, here's the first thing I want to tell you. God's will guides our approach to prayer. God's will guides our approach to prayer. So John begins 14 by saying this in verse 14. He says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him. Now that word confidence is a beautiful word in the Greek language. It literally means freedom of speech. As a matter of fact, it was a political term. It was a term that was used that when you were dealing in politics and you were making a public speech, you could actually just say whatever you wanted to say. You had the freedom to get up and say whatever it was. You knew people would listen to you. You knew people would hear with you. And what would hear you. And what John is saying is, when you pray the right way, you can pray with boldness. You can pray with confidence. You can pray with the assurance that you know God is going to hear you. By the way, that little phrase in that verse, this is the confidence we have toward him. In the Greek language, that literally means in his presence. And so what John is saying is this. He said, when you pray, you not only have confidence that when you do go to God, you actually will get to God. You will actually be in his presence. What John is saying, do you understand that the moment you say, Father, the moment you stop to pray, he said, do you understand immediately you are ushered into the presence of God? Now, let me tell you what that means in the busy world that we're living in. Let me tell you what that means. His door is never locked. His hours are never limited. His schedule is never full. Appointments are never necessary. It is God's will that we pray, and it's God's will that we pray believing that God's going to be there to hear that prayer when we pray. So John says, look, when you walk into the presence of God, there are two things you will always have. I want you to remember this. Every time you pray, if you go with the right heart, the right spirit, the right attitude, Lord, I want your will. God, John says you got two things you can absolutely believe. Number one, you'll have God's undivided attention. Number two, you'll have his unbelievable affection. Every time, you'll get his undivided attention, his unbelievable affection. In other words, every time you walk into the throne room of God, he doesn't just sit there with folded arms. When you walk into his room, his ears are open. His arms are open. Take a seat. I want to hear what you have to say. I read about a man the other day. He was talking to one of his buddies about his marriage, and he said, man, my wife's got a big problem. He said, what's the problem? He said, she goes around the house all the time talking to herself, just all the time. She gets up in the morning all day till she goes to midnight. She's just talking to herself all the time. His friend said, that's terrible. Does she know she's doing it? He said, no, she thinks I'm listening to her. Now, God's always listening. God always is hearing. You have his 100% attention. However, there is a catch, because that's a little word you need to notice. John says, this is the confidence we have toward him. Well, who's the we? The we's not everybody. The we are people who know Jesus. The we are the people who are part of the family of God. These are the people who have been born again into his family. These are the people who can go to God, not just as God the creator, not just as God the ruler. These are the people who can go to God as God the Father, the children of God. I'll give you a great illustration. There are three men in my life. You'll know who they are. Many of you will. James, Jonathan, and Joshua. Those are my three sons. And my three sons learned something about their dad early on. They were young when they learned it, and I still prove it to them even to this day. They do know this. They know to this day, if they ever really need anything, they can come to dad. If I'm in an important meeting and one of my sons calls, if I can get to it, I will. If I can't, I'll always shoot a text. Are you okay? Can I call you back? They know if they need me anytime, any place, anywhere, they know that I will always be there. My door's always open. And if I can get to it, if I can answer their call, I'll do it. That's true for Teresa. That's true for my five grandchildren. That's true for my daughters-in-law, because they are my family. And I'm simply saying to you, and some people won't like this. This is very politically incorrect. But according to the Word of God, prayer is a distinctly Christian privilege. We have a power. We have an authority. We have an opportunity. We have an open door that no ordinary person has. When you're a child of God, you can always go to your Heavenly Father. You can always know beyond a shadow of a doubt he's going to be there watching for you. He's going to be there waiting on you. He's going to be there willing to spend as much time with you as you're willing to spend time with him. And he'll give you the only advice you will ever need. But remember, it is all within the confines of the will of God. So number one, John says that God's will guides our approach in prayer. Now, why is that so important? Because of the second thing. Not only does God's will guide our approach in prayer, but God's will guards our asking in prayer. He guards our asking in prayer. Here's what John goes on to say. He says, this is the confidence we have toward him. And I know what you wish it said. If we ask anything according to what we want, he hears us. That's not what he said. And that's why people get ticked off at God, and people get irritated at God, and people get angry at God, and people quit with God. Because what they want to do is treat God as if God is Santa Claus, and it's always Christmas, and he should always give you what you want. That's not what John says. John says, this is the confidence we have toward him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So notice what John doesn't say. He doesn't say, if you ask anything, he hears you. He says, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. In other words, the prayer that God hears, the prayer that God answers is according to his will. So I put in my notes here, alert, 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 alert. Important message. I got that in bold print in my notes. I want you to hear this next statement. If you want to pray in the will of God, you have to seek the will of God, know the will of God, and then be willing to do the will of God. See, the reason why a lot of you don't get your prayers answered the way you want, God says, I'm not going to waste my time telling you what to do because I already know you're not going to do it. Because too many of us go to God and we really think we can fool God. I'm going to tell God what I think he wants me to hear, but I want him to do what I want him to do. God said, it don't work that way. You want to pray in the will of God? You really do? You got to seek the will of God. You got to know the will of God and be willing to do the will. I mean, think about it. To do the will of God, you got to know the will of God. And to know the will of God, you got to seek the will of God. That ought to be your greatest desire. That ought to be your greatest prayer. Can I tell you why? Prayer is not about asking God to do your will. It's about asking God to do his will. I got news for you folks. God didn't put you on this earth to do what you want. God put you on this earth to do what he wants to do through you. That's the way prayer works. It's not your will, it is his will. And by the way, if you truly understand who God is I mean, you really understand it, and you believe that God always wants what's best for you. Now, I'm assuming that's true. Number one, you understand that, you know, you understand what God, who God is. I understand. He's a loving Father. He's a sovereign God. He loved me enough to die for me to save me. If you understand that, and if you always understand, he always wants what is best for you, then the greatest desire of your heart should be to find the will of God. The greatest delight of your heart should be to do the will of God. You know why? Because the greatest danger to your life, I want you young people, listen to me. The greatest danger to your life is to get outside the will of God. That is the greatest danger you face every day. Because every day you get a choice. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what he wants. And if you do what you want, you're going to crash and burn every single time. That's why this is so important. I don't know why. I really don't know why. Sometimes we're so afraid of the will of God. Because if you think about it, God only wants for you what you would want for you if you were wise enough to want it. I'm going to say that again. God only wants for you what you'd want for you if you were wise enough to want it. So I want to say this another way. Prayer is not for the purpose of God getting God to give you what you want. Prayer is for the purpose of getting from God what he wills. Now, let me tell you what that means. You can say this is bad news, good news, some news, but what, it's worse news, whatever. But it's just real news. It's not fake news. That doesn't mean that everything's going to work out the way you want it. That doesn't mean everything you ask God to do, he's going to do. And it doesn't mean all of our troubles won't be gone. During World War II, I came across this about 3 months ago. I'd never seen it. During World War II, an army chaplain wrote an article on prayer. Here was the title of the article. How many of you, by the way, how many of you served in the military? Raise your hand. Again, thank you for your service. You'll appreciate this. Here was the title of his article. Some pray, some die. Some pray, some die. I saw a great movie. I don't normally recommend movies, but I saw it's called Pressure. If you hadn't seen it, y'all go see it. It's about D-Day and how D-Day came about and all that's great. But they show this scene at the last where, I mean, they're just, people are just getting mowed down. But they showed Eisenhower talking to these men, and they showed how they prayed for every one of these men to be protected, but not all of them were. Some of them died. So this chaplain wrote this article. He said, well, some pray and some die. This may be the longest quote I'm ever going to put up on a screen, but it was so good. It was so strong. It was so powerful. I said, I want our people to see every word this man said. Listen to what this army chaplain said. We're going to take our time. Is there such a thing as getting the breaks in prayer? What about the fellows who pray regularly but get killed regularly? I wish people would stop writing about the soldiers who pray and have their prayers answered by not getting killed. Why do all the other soldiers seem to get the wrong answer? What I want to know is this. What sort of the extra special super-powered prayer is needed to make everything turn out the way you want it? I really want to know. And by the way, don't we all? But he goes on. I'm an army chaplain, and I could use some special prayers with my men. And heaven knows we need them badly at times. Because the fact is, there are always more men who pray to come back than there are men who get back. Quite a lot more. So, what is the deciding factor? The thing for all of us to remember is this. Someone else does the answering. What you have in mind may not be what God has in mind. If you ask him something, you must... Don't put up the next thing until I tell you to move. If you ask him something, you must be willing to take what he gives. Let me stop right there. If you don't hear anything else this preacher says, listen to me. Don't bother praying. Stop it. It's a waste of time. It's an insult to him. Don't be willing to pray unless you're willing to take what he gives. That's the way it works. He's not on your schedule. You're on his. He's not on your plan. You're on his. It's one of the best statements I've ever read. If you ask him something, you must be willing to take what he gives. That is why I'm a bit depressed by the writings of those who try to get other people to pray by telling them, you get what you want. People must learn to want what they get. When I've talked to soldiers about prayer, I try to tell them that they must be adults. God expects us to be men. Only children demand a happy ending to every story. What a statement. Only children demand a happy ending to every story. How old must we be before we begin to realize that even prayer can't get us everything we want unless the thing we want is right for us to have? Who gets the breaks in prayers? Nobody. There is no such thing. We get what God in His infinite love and foreknowledge sees fit to give. That's not always the same as getting what we want, but it ought to be. The bedrock of my theology, the foundation of my theology, is not just there's a God in heaven. The bedrock of my theology is that God is sovereign. That's why the first four words are the greatest words in the Bible. You want to understand life. You want to understand God. You want to understand you. You want to understand how all this works if you don't get those four words down. In the beginning, what? God. You know what that means? He doesn't owe you an explanation. He doesn't owe you an apology. You wouldn't even be here if He hadn't put you here. So in the beginning, God, He is a sovereign God. So I want to say this a different way. We can pray with confidence knowing one thing. This is so true. God will never give us everything we want. Otherwise, we'd get a lot of things we shouldn't have wanted. God's not going to give you everything you want. Because if He did, you'd be getting things you did not want. Listen, can I be honest? If God said yes to everything I ever prayed for, I'd be in a mess. I'm just telling you. I would be in a mess. Because remember this. Listen, God is best at knowing what's best for you. Do you believe that or not? Can you say amen to that? God is best at knowing what is best for you. So see, this is the way prayer works. Real prayer forces you to focus on God's will. So I'll put it to you this way. God's will is like a guardrail. It'll keep you from going over a cliff. God's will is kind of like a buffer. It will keep you from crashing into a wall. God's will is like a safety net. It keeps you from falling into trouble. No. You can't always be sure if every prayer you pray is God's will, but you'll always be safe in any prayer prayed in God's will. So if you want to know the way to pray, you better remember this principle. I'm saying the same thing about 30 different ways. You're not ready to pray until you want what God wants for an answer. You're not ready to pray until you want what God wants for an answer. That's the key. The priority of prayer is not to tell God what you want Him to do for you. That's not the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer is to ask Him what He wants to do through you. So you see, God's word, God's will, it guards our asking in prayer. It guides our approach to prayer. But then here's the best news. God's will guarantees an answer to our prayer. God's will guarantees an answer to prayer. Look at what John says. He closes it with this thought. He says, and if we know that He hears us, if we pray anything, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. But then John says, and if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Now, you see that word, know. That's one of John's favorite words. He uses it twice in that verse. And I love that word because thinking something is true is an opinion. Knowing something true is a conviction. And John says we can be convinced with an absolute conviction. Two things will always be true about prayer we pray if we pray according to the will of God. If you put that first, Lord, I want Your will to be done according to Your will, we know two things will happen. First of all, John says God will respond to our prayers. He will respond. That word hear, God will hear your prayer. It doesn't just mean to listen. It means to act on what's being heard. So I want you to listen to me. God does hear prayer, and God does respond to prayer. As a matter of fact, to be honest, you know, I've heard people say, well, I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. Read my lips. There's no such thing as unanswered prayer. That doesn't exist. That's an oxymoron. God just answered prayer in different ways. Let me give you an example. Sometimes God says, no. I hate to break the news to you. That's an answer. No is an answer. God says no. And so when God says no, let me give you some advice. Don't pout. Don't get angry. don't quit going to church. Because, you know, that's I mean, God knows what he's doing. Because when God says no, here's what God is saying. That's not best for you. That's not really what you want. I've got something better for you. All right? Now, sometimes God says yes. And sometimes that yes is immediate. And those are the best. I mean, I admit to you, that's the way I love for prayer to be. Every prayer prayed in the will of God is a yes. You know, prayer to me is like fishing. I've told you this before. The only way I like to fish, somebody baits my hook. The fish bite within 30 seconds, and somebody takes the fish off the hook and baits the hook again. Other than that, I don't care about fishing. I want to catch fish immediately. We all love to have prayer, and we pray it, and it is immediate. I'll give you a great example. It happened in this church about 3 months ago. My security guy, some of you know him, Brad Parks. Brad Parks had needed a liver transplant. He went weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, false alarm. This, they'd call him, nope, this won't work, this won't fit you, this is not right, this is not good. So on a particular Sunday, this is how God works, I always come in on that door, but for some reason I came in the back. And I came in the back and Brad Parks was sitting all the way back on the second row from the back, right there, I think it's where Chris is. He was sitting right there where you, Chris, raise your hand. Yeah, that's you. So he was sitting where Chris is. The reason I said that, Chris sometimes doesn't know who he is. So he's sitting there where Chris is. And I just felt led, and I just, he looked, he was jaundiced, his eyes were yellow, I could tell he was sick, he didn't feel good. And I just knelt down, this is Sunday morning, I knelt down, and I just put my hand, I said, Lord, you can do anything, there's nothing too difficult for you. I said, Lord, I'm gonna ask you this week to give him a liver, this week. That night at 11 o'clock, they got a call, we got a liver, he had his liver the next morning. Now God does that. Sometimes you just go, man, it is immediate. Sometimes it's yes. Now, sometimes, here's the way God answers. Sometimes no, sometimes yes, but sometimes it's this. Yes, but, give an example. I'm at seminary, pastor of two churches, and I wanted to come home. I wanted to come to Georgia. I really did. I wanted to be where God wanted me to be, but I wanted God to want me to be where I wanted him to be, okay? I wanted to go, and I wanted to come to Georgia, right? Well, I didn't know at the time God said, yes, but. He said, first, you're going to the foreign mission field. I said, great. I went to Mississippi. So last place I ever thought I'd go is Laurel, Mississippi. So I go and I spent 2 years. Teresa loved it. It was Mississippi's good. I had two wonderful years. We set the record for baptisms the first year, broke the record the next year. Church exploded. It was great. But I want to get back to Georgia. Well, a church came open. I won't tell you where it is, and if somebody's listening, they'll know who they are. But a church came open here in Atlanta. I had been the student pastor of that church 2 summers. They knew me. They loved me. I loved them. When I heard that they were looking for a pastor, I told Teresa, I said, we're going home. We're going home. They're going to call me. I'd sat by the phone. I wouldn't even leave the phone. They're going to call me. Never heard a word. Never called me. Phone never rang. The letter never came. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I thought, man, what is going on? But then I got another call from another church on the other side of Atlanta from a town I'd never heard of. And some of you were there. And the rest is history. So God said, yes, but not what you want, what I want. And so, for example, sometimes the answer is yes, but not now. Because with God, timing is everything. And there are times that God may want for you what you want. He just doesn't want it at the same time that you want it. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I shudder to think about this. If God had answered my prayer, I would have married a different girl 2 times. I'd have married 2 different girls. If God had answered Teresa's prayer, she'd have married 2 different guys 2 times. I don't mean she'd been a bigamist. That's coming out wrong, but you know what I'm saying. We would have married somebody else. But I thank God every day of my life that I really finally, God taught me to wait to find the girl that I did marry. So when you pray in the will of God, he will respond to your prayers. But here's the second thing that John says. Not only will God just respond to your prayers, John says God will reward our prayers. He says, we know we have the request that we want. We've got the request that we've asked of him. Now, let me tell you why. I hope this is going to make perfect sense. When we want what he wants and we agree on what we want, then we both get what we want. That was really brilliant. I don't know why you're just sitting there looking at me. When we want what he wants, we'll agree on what we want, and then we both get what we want. So God wants his will to be done. I want God's will to be done. So when God's will is done, we both get what we want. It really works out great. You know, sometimes I'm afraid, please hear me. I think sometimes we're afraid that we got to kick God's door down to get something done. Yeah, well, you know, we think, all right, well, I'll pray louder. I'll pray longer. I'll pray harder. Well, I'll pitch a fit. I want God to answer my prayer. And here's the truth. God delights in hearing our prayer. God delights in answering our prayer. But he just simply wants us to pray the right way. So let me tell you this story. Probably never heard of him, but you should. There was a man named George Mueller. He was British. He founded an orphanage for kids with no money. He just made a promise to God. He said, I will never ask for money, but if it's your orphanage and it's your work, you provide the money. Now, not everybody can be George Mueller, but this was the way he did it. So he started keeping a journal about prayer. When he died, he had in writing 50,000 distinct answers to prayer that God had answered. 50,000. One of the greatest prayer warriors in history. Listen to what he said about prayer. This is so encouraging. He said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of God's willingness. He said, listen, it is the will of God that we pray in the will of God, and when we do, we will get the will of God. And let me tell you why that ought to bring joy to your heart. The highest achievement in life is finding the will of God. I got two of my grandchildren. They're going to Liberty University this fall. And they're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? And the only advice I've given them is this. If you want to do the will of God, you'll find it. He doesn't play hide and seek. In due time, you'll know. You know my story. I thought I was going to be a lawyer until the week before I graduated. God had different plans. You'll find out. But I tell them, that's all. Don't worry. Don't sweat. Don't fret. Just do the will. That's the highest achievement of life, finding the will of God. The greatest accomplishment in life is doing the will of God. The greatest prayers in life, ask for the will of God. So when you pray, remember, you're praying to a God, listen to this, who is so wonderful. It was his will to send his son Jesus to die for our sins and come back from the dead so that his perfect will for us, forgiveness, salvation, eternal life, would be ours forever. If God did that for us, ladies and gentlemen, can we not trust God with our prayers? Can we not come to God and say, Lord, you know what I want. I want my father to be healed. I want my wife to have a successful pregnancy. I want to find a job. God gets it. God understands. God answers prayer in his will. So let me just tell you a story that this has never happened to me. So this last week was a rough, hard week for us. A lot of us went to the Southern Baptist Convention, left on Saturday, got back Wednesday night, had to get up early Thursday morning, fly to Colorado Springs. I spoke at Focus on the Family on Friday and came back late Friday night. Well, my Uber driver that picked me up in the airport, his name was Jason. Jason, really kind of an interesting guy. Got in the car, could tell he had kind of a northern accent. Jason's from New York, and he was a neuro-ophthalmologist. I've never heard of a neuro-ophthalmologist, but he kind of did eye and brain surgery together. It's a very, very specialized field. I said, what are you doing out here? I said, why aren't you? He said, you know, malpractice insurance just got so expensive. I just had enough of it. And I said, what are you doing driving an Uber? He said, well, my daughter wants to go to college. It's expensive. And I'm just trying to make extra money and save up. I said, okay, that's great. So I'm always looking for a way to, you know, to talk about spiritual things. Well, in this case, I didn't have to. This guy starts talking about God on his own, just talking about God and telling me how God had spared his life. He told me about how he thought he had a hernia. Went to the hospital, And while I was waiting to see if they'd operate on the hernia, the doctor came to him and said, "You better be glad you're here. I don't know. You just struck the lottery." So what do you mean? He said, "You have renal cancer. You'd been dead in 3 months. We've got to take your kidney out right now." Happened years ago, so I couldn't believe it. And then he was telling me about, and I won't go into all the details, just tell me how another way that God had spared his life. And he was talking. So, but he was a talker. You know, New Yorkers are talkers. So he just, I couldn't get a word in. So about 2 minutes from the hotel, I mean, really, I'm not trying to be rude, but he is talking about the Lord. He grew up Catholic. So I said, "Hey, Jason," I said, "before we get out," I said, "I got something I want to give you." I said, "It's called the best news." And I gave him my card. And I said, "I know you got to go." He's had another ride. I said, "Just give me 2 minutes." So I shared, bad news, worst news, good news, best news. Gave him the card. I said, "Hey, is there any way that you could take me back to the airport tomorrow? I'd like to talk to you." He grabbed me, hugged my neck. He said, "Yeah, Pastor, I'd like to do that." He said, "I'll tell you what, I'm not supposed to do it. We'll do it off the books." I said, "I'm not trying." No, we'll do it off the books." I said, "That's great." I said, "Pick me up, folks, on the family, 11 o'clock, go back to the airport." So we're back to the airport, getting in the car, and I said, "Hey, did you get a chance to read my book?" He said, "No." He said, "But I want you to tell me more about this best news." I said, "Man, we're off to the races." I said, "Okay, bad news is we're all sinners separated from God. Worst news is there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. The good news is Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He died for our sins, came back from the grave. And the best news is eternal life's a free gift. You can have it if you want it." And I'm doing this, not that fast, but we're going about a 20-minute ride to the airport. So then I said to him, "Let me tell you why that's important." I said, "Jesus said to a man named Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God." I said, "Have you ever been born again?" I tell you, it deflated my whole balloon. He said, "Yeah, I was born again 30 years ago. I wouldn't say, "You're lying. You're kidding me." So I thought I was going to get his life, lead this guy to the Lord. I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah." He said, told me about his mom and how his mom had talked to him. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I was born again." Said, "My uncle and aunt, they've been born again." I said, "This is great." I said, "But I got to ask you a question." I said, "If you had been born again, why did you let me go through all this yesterday and today?" He said, "I just wanted to hear it again, get fired up. I never heard that happen before. It's the only time I've ever been sorry somebody's born again. I've just kind of disappointed the whole thing. But here's my point. He gets out of the car, gets my luggage out, grabs me and hugs me. We exchanged phone numbers, information. I started to leave and he said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "It was not a coincidence you picked me up." He said, "It was the will of God that you picked me up." And I said, "Do you know how I know that?" He said, "No, I don't." I said, "Because I prayed for the Uber driver that would pick me up, that would be in the will of God. I could share with him about Jesus." That's the way it works. That's the way God works. So here's the good news for all of us, and we're going to pray. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is this verse. "It is the will of God that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." If you're not a believer today, if you're watching me right now and you don't know you have eternal life, you don't know Jesus, you're in this room right now, and if you were to die today, you're not sure or you know you wouldn't go to heaven, I got news for you. I know what the will of God is for you. It is the will of God for you to be saved. It is the will of God for you to come to a knowledge of His truth. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You're watching online right now. You're in this room. I'm going to ask you the same thing I ask people every week. Here's my question to you. Do you want to know for sure that when you die, you'll have eternal life? Do you want to know for sure that when you die, you'll go spend eternity with the Lord? If the answer to that question is yes, I'm going to give you a chance to make that decision right now. It will change your life. If you'll just say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need to be saved. I believe you died for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe you're alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died. I believe God raised you. And I repent of my sins. I turn away from my sins. I confess you as my Lord. I trust you as my Savior." If you prayed that prayer and you meant that prayer, let me just tell you this. God saved you. You say, "Well, how do I know that?" Because God made a promise. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, if you're watching right now, if you'll just go to crosspointchurch.com/next, we want to tell you how to begin your walk with the Lord. You're in this room. You prayed that prayer with me just then, and you meant it. If you didn't mean it, I'm not talking to you. You prayed that prayer, and you meant it, and you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Would you just raise your hand right now, just real quick. Just raise your hand right now. Anybody raise? Okay, thank you. Anybody else, raise your hand. Listen, thank you. If you raised your hand, I want you to do something. When this service is over, I want you to go out to a table. It's called Next Steps. Go out to that table and just tell someone there, today I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'll be at a table right next to them. If you want to come tell me, come tell me. Now, there's some of you here and you say, well, I've already given my life to Jesus. Great. It is the will of God for you to be biblically baptized. And if you've never been biblically baptized, you're not living in the will of God. You're out of God's will for your life. That's not my problem. That's yours. The very first thing every new believer in the New Testament instantaneously happened to them, they got baptized, immersed, not sprinkled, immersed. That's what the word means, immersed. They got baptized. Some of you have never been biblically baptized. I got a question. Do you want to be in the will of God for your life? Yes or no? I do. Go to that table. Say, you know what? I'm a believer, but I want to follow Jesus in baptism. Maybe it's God's will for you to join our church. Maybe it's God's will for you to get in a small group, find a place to serve. Whatever that will is, you do that. Father, I want to thank you that every time we pray in your will, you hear us. I want to thank you. You have a will for our life. I want to thank you. We're not here by accident. We're not here trying to find our own way. You have a will. You've got a plan. You've got a purpose for every life on this planet. And I thank you for those of us who, through Jesus, have found that purpose. So, Lord, just continue to use us as we pray for one another, that we would all always be in your perfect will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.